All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello! Is this Pa the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the silliest podcast in the world! It's the Shy Life Podcast!
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy!
107. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Shy Life Podcast. Well, I really shouldn't be introducing this episode. This isn't about me. It's about two other characters. Yes, it's their own little show. They're going to, well, they're going to amuse you. I'm not quite sure what's coming up, to be honest. But, well, I may appear, I may not. Who are these two characters I mentioned? Well, Bert and Gert, the cacti. Yeah, they've got their own show this time, so let's run the theme music and I'll speak to you again at the end.
What's going to happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous. It's the Shy Life Podcast.
The show is out of this world.
Oh dear, this isn't going to end well.
It's a very strange show indeed.
Oh, a million kisses, darling.
I asked for praise, that's all I asked for, praise.
My name is Ralph Smoot Whiskers. I always listen to the Shy Life Podcast, and so does Oliver Lass, don't you, Oliver?
Oh yeah, oh yes. Oh yes, always always listen, absolutely.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
Oh, Bert. Oh, it's so fantastic. Oh, it's so exciting. We've got our own show.
There is definitely a gap in the market. I've long said this. You know, you watch the TV, how often do you see a co-host that's a cacti? You know? Well, now you can. We're here.
But Bert, we're not on the TV, we're on the radio. Not even on the radio for that matter, we're on the podcasts.
Oh no, stop it, you're splitting hairs now, don't split hairs. Yes, so, hello, yes, this is our show, the Bert and Gert Show.
Oh, well, it could be the Gert and Bert Show.
No, don't be silly, Bert and Gert, it's alphabetical.
Oh, alright, yeah, alright, it is alphabetical, isn't it?
So, yes, this episode, we've got, what's it called? They're working now, aren't they?
Oh, the other pads. Yes, we got the other pads. Yes, they're working now. You might remember that we tried them out and it didn't work. We got stuck on the station, but anyway. So, yes, we've got our hover pads. And, what else is going on?
We've got a special guest, actually. And, it's very exciting. A special guest, Mr. Cromarty here.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me on your show. You're a very interesting species, I must say.
Oh, he's flirting with us. He's flirting with us. I'm embarrassed.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, you just got a scientific interest, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have a scientific interest. I'm very interested because there are not many cacti like you who can, who have the intelligence, and it is intelligence that you can talk and that you can interact like this, let alone inventing hoverboards so that you can float. It is very, very clever. I wonder how it happened. Yes. Did you, you had some involvement with the aliens, possibly?
Oh, I don't know, Bert, what do you think? I just know Bert, and Bert knows me. I don't know many other cacti, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's a mystery. It is really a mystery. Ask not to reason why, ask but to float about on a hover pad. Yeah. You're kind of here because, you did a little bit of an interview for us, didn't you, Mr. Cromarty?
Yes, I did. I did a, I followed Paul, Mr. Yeti. I followed him when he went on his travels. He went to Hamburg and I did a little bit of a report as though, like, you know, I was watching in on him, and, you know, it wasn't spying. I don't like to call it spying, but, you know, I was just interested to see what was going on and to report back, because, you know, it is difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah, I would just suppose what we wanted to say was that you know, we may have our hover pads, but we're not quite to the stage where we can go on overseas trips, whereas Comedy, you know, he volunteered to be our roving reporter, yes?
Oh, yes, I like to rove, I like to report, and, you know, there are always things that, you know, experiments to be done.
Oh, did you do some experiments?
Well, I collected some seeds, let's just say. I collected some seeds.
Oh, well, yes, right, yes, right. I think we should hear the first part of your little report then, Cromarty.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
No, oh, very good, yes. Yes, let's play it. Let's play the first one. Oh, so good.
Hello, it's me, Cromarty. Hello, I'm on a train now, yes. I'm on a train, and, well, it is moving, yes, moving very fast through the city of Hamburg, yes. This is where I am reporting for. I am here because Bert and Gert, they have very kindly asked me to follow Mr. Yeti and to find out what he is doing, yes. And, yes, they wanted it to be a behind-the-scenes interview. So, well, not an interview, like a documentary, yes. And, well, the only trouble is he moves very quickly. He and his friend, they move so fast. So I have been trying to, you know, take photos and watch them. Not for any sinister purpose, just for Bert and for Gert. Yes, that is the truth. And so far they have not done too much. They have been walking, and they have been eating, yes. Well, they haven't been here for too long, so I suppose, you know, there is always time. Well, anyway. Anyway, but I'm good. It is a shame that you are not here. But I am proud to be here to do your spying in a good way. Spying in a good way, yes. Anyway, I think that is all I have to say. I'm going to try and get ahead, and I believe that Paul and his friend Callum, they're heading through a park. It's very difficult for me to catch up and to keep up. I thought that I would get the train to the docks, which is where they are heading, so it will be easier to watch them as they arrive. Uh-huh, you see? So I am thinking ahead of the game, as they say. Yes. The other thing I have to say is that they have accompanied, they are accompanied by Ick, the alien, but he is invisible, mostly. So he is here. That is an exclusive, I believe. Yes. I think that's it for now, yes? Okay. I'll report back with more news in a while. Okay. Hello, it is me, Cromarty. I am on the boat. Yes, I am on the boat. And Mr. Yeti and his friend, they are also on the boat. But you'll have to listen to Bert and Gert's show that will be coming up soon to hear what else I had to say. I'm sorry, it's the truth. So hello, Bert and Gert, it is me. Cromarty, I'm on the boat. And it is quite breezy, but and the man, he keeps speaking in German. And some listeners have said, like, is your accent German? I've said, No, my accent is mad scientist. I do not know. It is not linked to any particular country. I do not wish to offend anybody. I'm just, crazy mad scientist. So, whatever. That's like a special country of its own. Mad scientist bug or something. I can see. I'm in disguise. I'm wearing a big hat, and I've got some stilts in my trousers, so I'm much taller than usual. Yes. Oh. I have to be careful, because the boat is rocking, and I have these stilts on, and it makes me a bit wobbly on my feet. Nothing much has happened. They did. They arrived here around lunchtime, and I saw them eating. And Callum, he had. A jacket potato. Ah, yes, that is an exclusive. Yes, he had a jacket potato. It looked very yummy. I must say, very good. Oh yes, and Mr. Yeti, he had. I'm not sure. It was fish caught locally. Pollock? That is the name of a fish. I wasn't offending you. I may be wrong about the type of fish, but there was salad and there was potatoes. It was massive. There may be photos, but it looked good. It looked very good. There was no dessert, but they did have, the Mr. Getty had gin and tonic, and Callum had a beer. So, yes, it's very good. Very good. So, they are enjoying themselves. But maybe there'll be something exciting coming up, something a little bit different. Ike is here, but he is nervous of the water, so I don't think... I believe they are going to go... that is why Ike is not on the boat with us now. He was nervous, so... Maybe there is some, sensational story about why he is afraid. Who knows? We may find out, huh? Okay, I shall report more back soon. Yes. Listeners, I don't want to say anything, but there's a rather strange man in a big hat. I swear he's drunk. He's like tottering around. He's tottering around, and every time the boat's rocking, and he's looks like he's going to fall over the side of the boat in a minute. He looks vaguely familiar, but anyway. I think we're going to be arriving back at the dock pretty soon. We've been travelling around the by boat on the big crane, the big ships in the harbour. It's been good so far. I'll speak to you again in a minute. Excuse me, sir. May I just speak to you?
Who are you?
I am reporting for a documentary program, and it's me, Cromarty.
Oh, hello, Cromarty. I do not recognize you in that big floppy hat and those long stilts. I thought you were a strange drunk man.
Well, I am basically, but anyway. Could I have a word? Could I speak to you?
I suppose so. What do you want to speak about?
I was wondering, do you have your own room?
Yes, I do have my own room.
Well, I have nowhere to sleep. Can I sleep on your sofa, please?
I suppose so. Do you snore?
Oh, yes, I snore very badly.
and you're welcome. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you. A message from John? How exciting. I wonder what he has to say. This is me thinking. You see, I'm thinking this. Yeah, okay. I wonder what his message says. Let me listen.
Hello, it's me, Yeti Uncle John. How is your holiday? I've been hearing little bits and pieces. I've got to say something. I am aware that, yes. You know that Bert and Gert, them who live in your kitchen, the cacti, I don't know, you know them very well, but apparently, let's just say, I mustn't say too much because they might hear me. I've got to say that I think they may have sent a roving reporter after you to record for their show. Yes, a roving reporter, no less. I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to say too much, but just keep your eyes and ears out. I don't think there's anything bad. Oh, I sit there doing a little show and, yes. Anyway, I hope you're having a nice time. I've seen a few little photos on the social medias. It looks very nice. Looks like the weather's keeping fine for you. I hope you have a good day. I wish I could have been there. I mean, I would have liked to have been there. Unfortunately, the septic tank burst and I've been having to clear it out. Yes, by hand. Anyway, I'll see you again soon. Have a good trip. I might speak to you again later in the holiday. Yes, all right. It's me, Yeti Uncle John, all right? Yes, all right. Keep an eye out for that roving reporter.
This is me thinking again. Good golly, poor John. What is he talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. A roving reporter, though, that piques my interest. Who could that be? Well, I'll just have to keep my eyes and ears open. I think I'd probably be doing that anyway. I kind of need my eyes and my ears.
Listeners, it's Thursday the 1st of June. We're having breakfast. We're going out for a day trip today on the train to another town, another city. But we're just getting our breakfast. It's quite busy today. I might take you with me whilst I go and choose my breakfast. Callum just got back with his. Toast and sausages and bacon. It's pretty good. Well, bit crispy. That's right, if you like crispy bacon. Hello, it is me, Carmody. I'm reporting in for Bert and Gert show. Yes, I'm here. I'm watching what is going on at the breakfast. It is very... Well, actually, it's very boring. You just Callum and Paul eating. Yes, just sitting there eating lots of food. I do not actually get to have any breakfast because you could not afford to pay for me to have a room in the hotel, so I have to watch them. I creep under the table and I eat leftovers. I ran into a mouse earlier. He was very angry. I was stealing some crumbs. But it is fine, yes. Well, I mean, I could have paid for a room, but I am too cheap. And you two do not have any money, so...
Anyway, it is always good fun doing these reports. Yes, oh indeed, yes, indeed. Oh, somebody has just dropped a bun under the table. I should go and get it.
The pieces I'm going to read this time are from my book Roller Coaster from 2002. Now, at least two of them are going to be slightly macabre, but I'll try and read something jolly as well. Let's start with a, well, not a scary one, but, well, this one's all about arguing. Yeah. It's called Peace Treaty. Hold your fire, please don't shoot. Let's call it quits and split the loot. No need to fight, no need to scare. Hands off my wardrobe, cut and tear. No, don't you try it, you must be stopped. In the skip, my clothes you popped. Well, two can play that game as well. Rare vinyl Beatle records sell. My lovely trinkets liked so much were my possessions, do not touch. Shall I hold your mother up for ransom? Remember when you found me handsome? But your views have changed, you've changed your ways. Hope your change of mind, it pays. No need to fight, can do this gentle. But you're psychopathic, completely mental. So choose your weapons, come fight with me. Peace treaty broken, World War III. This one's called Petrified. We're waxworks watching. Watching works well for works of art such as we. And as strangers' eyes observe, we stare straight back, pleading. You think we don't understand, but the layer of wax is only thin. Have you never considered what lies within? The wax covers us, but underneath we're just like you, kept alive through tubes, petrified. If you look closely, sometimes you'll see our eyes move, sometimes blinking. Look closer. But not too close, or he might catch you too, and then you'll end up like us. Petrified, kidnapped from the streets to fill the waxwork halls, missing persons with new wax faces. We're waxworks watching. Watching works well for works of art, such as we. Another unnerving one. This is called Serial Offender. Serial, spelt with a C. That look, the expression you gave when first we met at a crowded party, it was a look of such encouragement, also new to me, yet so full of confidence. It said, you do as you want, just do as you please with me, giving me a subtle confirmation, reassuring with your smile, confirming what I'd guessed all along. It was all there, clearly displayed in your eyes, and so I took you up on it. I booked a window in my busy schedule, forsaking the gym just for once. Thursday night after work, 6:15. We met, and together we took a cab to dine. Flirting, we ate Italian food and chatted, mouths full. I watched you spill red bolognese sauce down your clean blouse. That'll stain, you sighed. I nodded. It seemed insignificant and certainly doesn't matter now. Otherwise, things seem to be going well for us. I hadn't wanted to jump to conclusions, not the first time, but when you said you'd like to stay over, I knew I hadn't been mistaken. When you said, I want to wake up with you, to me that said, I want to wake up with you, maybe something more. So you came over, and sure enough, you stayed. But then, that look, the expression you gave me the next morning, that night you stayed over, our night together, that look of encouragement so new to me, but brimming with confidence. It said, I'm ready now. It's time. Kill me now. So I did. And now here we are. Me, spotless, a firm hand pressing you down. You, face lost beneath your cornflakes, those milk bubbles drowning you. Your face a horrendous mask of smudged lipstick and mascara. It's a shame. I knew it all along. But you did insist. But I suppose we should never have gone the whole way on a first date. I'm going to finish with something more cheerful. Well, this is slightly more cheerful. It's called I'm the One. Have you ever considered to question whom it is who is causing you gloom? Whom it is who is spreading those rumours, swiftly plotting to snip off your bloom? I'm the one who drops his chewing gum for you to tread indoors. I'm the one inciting riots without caring for the cause. I'm the one who phones at midnight or will leave a scary note. I am not much fun at parties, it's okay, I'll fetch my coat. Tormenting you comes natural, I'd sell your soul for cheese. I think you might enjoy it, yes, yes, sometimes it's nice to please. Whom is it exactly to blame now, quickly planning malicious to harm? I am happy admitting it's me, sir, and I joyfully raise up my arm. I'm the one who stole your girlfriend and chased your mangy cat. It was me seduced your milkman, so what do you say to that? Next time you start to wonder who stole your gran's false teeth, 'twas me who did the dirty, 'twas me on Hampstead Heath. It was I who took sick photos of strangers known to few. 'Twas I doctored the pictures so that they seemed to be of you. I'm the one who likes scratching on blackboards, burst balloons causing heart-stopping shocks. I'm the one deftly steals your belongings, leaves you bare and confused in odd socks. I will keenly take the blame now. That's fine, no need to linger. Was me who dissed your manhood and who raised a middle finger. You'll try, but you can't stop me. I'll watch you as you burn. You cannot change my willing. You will simply never learn. The Eurovision Song Contest was my fault. World War II, famine, plague and pestilence. 'Twas me. Go on then, sue. 'Twas me, the cause of everything, through history's trickling sand. But you'd never recognise me. Simply smile and shake my hand. No, you have never considered to question whom it was who is causing you hell. If you knew, it would probably kill you. You were innocent. Yeah, just as well. Okay, that's enough for me. Moving on.
Hey, Bert and Gert. Now, I have quite a sensational interview for you. It is with Ig the Alien, who was on holiday with Mr. Yeti. And, you know, things were very exciting and basically virtually all I saw, Mr. Yeti involved him putting food into his mouth. There wasn't any sort of anything scandalous, no, just that he was always seemed to be eating. But I did get an interview with Ick the Alien. Now, whilst we were there, I was aware that he was quite frightened of water, and well, I did not understand why, and I talked to him. He granted me an interview. Now, you will see, it is quite a dark interview, but it is an exclusive, and it is all about, you know, how he got where he got. And you will understand when you hear it. So, Mr. Ick, I wanted to talk to you about an exclusive exclusive conversation.
Do you know what you mean?
Well, you know, there are listeners who are probably wondering why you have such a business that you are scared of the water. Is this something that you would talk to me about?
Yes, I suppose I could.
If people are listening to this and it's not on the Gert and Bert show, then I'm sorry, you'll have to listen to that show when it is released. And please go away. This is exclusive. So, Ick, can you tell me how it is that you became so afraid of the water?
Yes, and I panic. Once a year, all the children, aliens, are sent to an island, and they are sacrificed to a water beast that comes out of the sea and eats them. And the ones who survive are the ones who, well, they have survived.
Oh my goodness, that is ridiculous. You mean, is it that there are too many alien children born each year?
Yes, that is the case.
So you must be one of the aliens who survived.
That is the case, yes.
So what happened? The whole thing is obviously because I can understand them. My goodness, if my parents had put me on an island and put me up for sacrificing to a water beast, then I think I would be scared of water too.
I know. Well, we don't really have parents. We are born from a pond.
Oh, in fact, okay, fine. Well,
we do not know our parents. That's what I'm trying to say.
It sounds quite horrific. I mean, quite different to the way that things happen over here. But what do I know? I am a talking voodoo doll thing, creature, man, pixie thing. I'm not even sure what I am.
You look quite normal to me, but then I'm an alien.
No, thank you, yes. So, So this whole business when you're on the island and the water beast comes. So it must have been terribly, terribly traumatic. Do you remember anything about it?
I try not to think of it too much. Although, I was very close to being eaten by the water beast. But another alien got in the way and he got eaten instead.
Oh my goodness, you poor little thing. I do feel very sorry for you. That is a dreadful situation to have to live with.
Yes, so this is why I do not like water. I always think that particularly big lakes and the sea and things like that, because I always think that something big may emerge from the water.
Well, now we can understand. So, well, thank you for speaking to our show. It is something that listeners of the Bert and Gert show have probably been wondering what it is your problem that you have. Yes.
Thank you, yes. Can I go now?
Oh, yes, of course. Mind that puddle.
Oh.
So that was a tragedy. A real tragedy. But this was not all that he confessed to me. The following day we spoke again briefly, and he had more to add to his story. There he was, Ik, just a young alien, and where he comes from, that dreadful situation, and he cries out in fear, and he wishes that somebody else would be eaten by the beastie. Not himself, you know. It could happen to any of us. So, Ik, is there any more stories that you could tell me? You know? Stories you could tell me for Bert and Gert's show?
I do not think so. I think I have told you all my stories.
Are you sure? All you have told me is why you are afraid of water and I understand that, but, there must be more. There must be more.
I do have some more I could tell you.
Really? Really? Okay. Right, let me get recording. This is going to be exclusive for Bert and Gert's show.
Okay.
hello. We are here again talking with Ik the Alien for the Bert and Gert's show. Hello, Ik.
Hello.
I believe there was more stories you wanted to tell us about, your childhood trauma.
Yes, I suppose so. I lost some of my family.
Oh, that is very careless.
No. I have been feeling very sad.
Yes. Well, it must be very sad to go through what you went through.
I think it was talking to you that brought it all back.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, that is very sad.
Yes, well, you see, it has always bothered me that when I was sent to be eaten by the giant beastie, I cried and I called out to it, and I remember saying, "Don't eat me, eat my sister."
Oh, goodness, that's dreadful. I mean, well, it's understandable, and I'm sure she does not hold a grudge. I'm sure she has forgiven you.
No, you do not understand. She cannot forgive me because the beastie did eat her.
Oh, goodness, well, oh, listen, no, Ick, I'm not so sure that, you know, if you probably need to have some therapy, you know. I'm not sure this is, I'm not sure this, if this is quite what Bert and Gert would want for their show. It's a bit dark, isn't it?
Well, it is up to you. It was you who asked me to speak for your interview.
I guess. Well, I was looking for stuff. I did want to talk to you, and I did want to be a roving reporter, but I did not realize it was going to, you know, I thought I would, you know, maybe see Mr. Getty falling in the water, or so I didn't expect that, you know, that I would unearth all these sad memories for you, Ick. Still.
Well, you do not have to use it.
Yes, well, we shall see. Because, well, obviously I don't have anything else at the moment. A very sad story. And unfortunately, the person who he says, his own relative, his own sister, well, the beastie did eat her. Although, you know, the beastie could not have known. The beastie did not know and did not respond to what he was saying. It was just a coincidence, a very sad and tragic coincidence. But it has haunted Ick all these years. Well, hopefully we can do something, and we can, bring him some peace. Maybe Bettina Dupre, she is the agony aunt, so maybe she can help. Yes, yes, that would be good. I hope it was not my fault.
Well, I do not know.
What? You cannot say it was my fault. No, it was not. You wanted to talk about it. You were already nervous before we spoke. You were getting nervous down in the docks, so you cannot blame me. What can happen? Something must happen. You know, what would be very good would be if you would fall in the water just for a few seconds. There are no monsters in there, you know. Nothing's going to come and get you. If you fell in the lake, then I could come and rescue you, and then that would be the great end for my interview with Bert and Gert, that I was able to rescue you. What do you think?
No, I will not do that. No, I would not. I will not do that. I do not listen to anything I have said.
Well, I listened to some stuff.
No, I am going. Please, leave me alone.
Oi, 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 what's going on? Cromarty, there you are. What? Oh, hello, Paul. How are you? What a coincidence. What do you mean, what a coincidence? Ick, come back. What on earth is going on? Ick is upset. Ick! What have you been saying? Look, I know you're working as a roving reporter for Bert and Gert. What? You know about that? Well, I know about it because people back home have been phoning me about it. I also know that you've been interviewing him about things from his past. I don't suppose I need to know about it. Maybe Ick will tell me the full details. Maybe he won't. Oh, no, he cannot. It is an exclusive. I don't care what it is. But I did hear what you were trying to get him to do. Trying to get him to throw himself in the water so that you could rescue him. Have you got no sensitivity at all? What? I do not understand. I don't know what it is that has happened. He hasn't shared the information because it's an exclusive with you. But I do know that Ick is scared of the water. He has told me that much. I don't know why. I don't need to know why. I just know that he is scared of water. And you presumably know a lot more than I do. And yet you suggest that he throws himself into the water just so you get to look heroic. Well, it's not like that. No, it is not like that. I did not know. Maybe I have gone out of my way. Maybe it's... Okay, maybe I have gone too far. Too right you have. Goodness gracious. A poor alien. Bill, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I did not think. You did not think. Absolutely you didn't. Look, I'm going to go and try and speak to Ick. And really... I can't believe that you would suggest things. I'm beginning to wonder how much of a reformed character you are. No, Paul, I am reformed. I'm not doing anything bad. I just wanted to get an exclusive interview. All this skulking around. You could have told us all this from the start. No. I realise I did go about it badly. This is the first time I have done an exclusive interview. Well, except for that time I did the podcast all about, how egotistical you were. You what? I don't understand. Oh, anyway. Listen, we're going back tomorrow. So, you know, come back with us or don't come back with us, Cromarty. But please, don't go upsetting Ick. He's just settling down. He's a good lad, and I don't like him upset. Enough has been going on. And we still don't know who let his peepers out. What? Who let his peepers out? What is that talking about? You know, Toppy Smelly sent him some peepers as a present and they escaped. You remember that? Oh, yes, I think so. And we don't know who did it. Well, you know, maybe it was not me. I know that. I do know that. So you say. No, Paul, it was not me. Maybe I should try and investigate who did do that. Maybe you should. Maybe you should, but not here, not on this holiday. We've just got one evening left. I want to go out for dinner with Callum. It's supposed to be his birthday trip. I don't suppose Ick will feel like coming out, but please don't bother him. Whatever he does, don't bother him. Just... Why don't you just fly back tonight? You've done quite enough damage. Maybe. I would have to cycle and take a boat. Whatever, however you got here, however you want to go back. I am sorry, Paul. I am sorry. Really, it's despicable. Hello, Ick. How are you?
I'm okay.
You don't look okay. You look sad.
I'm going to tell you the story of what happened.
Okay, well, I don't think that you need to do that whilst I'm recording.
I do not care. You can do.
Well, as much as I don't want
Cromarty to get an exclusive, I would rather try and prevent him even broadcasting his interview. So I'm not going to try and steal his thunder. I'm going to try and respect your privacy, so the listeners don't need to know. The listeners don't need to know every detail if you don't want to talk about it.
Well, where I come from, my planet, it is a strange place. And, I was having bad dreams because I was reminded of something that I once did. It involved my sister, and I will never forgive myself. In a time of danger, I did not try and save her. I was only fearful for my own survival.
Oh, Ick. Ick, I'm sure whatever the situation is, it sounds like a dreadful situation. Like, you can tell me, but I'm just going to turn off the recording and, listeners, I'm just going to take Ick off for a little chat and we're going to have a sit down in the gardens. And he obviously needs, he needs a sympathetic ear, so... Perhaps we'll speak later. It has been a nice holiday, it has. But, you know, some things have been on Earth, mainly thanks to Cromarty showing up. And anyway.
You don't have to blame Cromarty.
I feel like I do.
Yes, but I didn't have to tell him the story.
I know, but, oh well. Anyway, I believe there's a message coming up which is for you.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, have a listen.
Hello, darling. It's me, Bettina Dupre. Hello. Yes. Now, Bert and Gert have asked me to speak. I know this time on the Shy Life podcast, the show is being run by Bert and Gert. How nice. But I was told about this little interview that Cromarty did with little Ick the alien, lovely Ick. Now, Ick, I've heard the details. If you want to talk to me about any of this, then please just let me know. All right? Golly, it may be an ordinary situation where you come from, but, you know, it's still something traumatic that you went through. So, yes. So please, you know, please speak to me. And we'll see if we can work some of these problems through, all right? My poor little Ick. We love you, we do. We love you, Ick. And we don't want you to be suffering. So you speak to me anytime you like. Speak to anybody. You know. And I shall be having words with Cromarty, I can tell you. Dear, oh dear. Exclusive interviews, my foot. Anyway, you take care. 1 million kisses, darling. 1,000,001 kisses.
She's a nice lady.
She is a nice lady, yes. And if you you want to speak to her, then please do. But don't think we'll be recording it or anything. So, you know, this is between you and Bettina.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
That's okay. Anyway, I suppose we should vanish now and let Bert and Gert wind up this episode of theirs. To be honest, I'll be quite glad when I'm back in charge next time.
Yes, I think so.
Come on, let's let them get on with it then.
Yes. Okay.
Well, Gert, I think that was very good. I'm pleased with us. I thought we did a very good episode. Yes. I hope you enjoyed it, listeners. Oh, Bert. Oh, I don't know. I think that, I think we rather let Mr. Cromarty take over. Oh, no, no, it's fine. That's what podcasters do these days. They, they get other people to do their hard work. They get other people to, go out there and do roving reports. I thought that was a very good roving report that Mr. Cromarty did. Don't you, Gert? Oh, I suppose so, Bert. I suppose so. Well, yes. So, anyway, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed. Yes, this episode, our first episode, and yes, so I think that's about it for this episode. I think that's about it for now. Yes.
Oh, Bert! Oh, he's just been tinkering around with his hover pad all episode. I don't know. Oh, I felt sorry for that little ick. Poor little ick. He's had it very hard. No wonder he doesn't like doing the washing up.
Oh, well, you know, these things happen, they happen, they do happen. So, you know, you just have to accept it.
Oh, well, before you finish the episode, I've got a little segment that I would like to do, dear.
Oh, well then, was it knitting patterns?
No, Bert, we've had some phone calls.
Already? Blimey. Oh yes, all right then, you can play those.
They're a bit strange.
Oh, that's fine, go on, play them.
My name is of no consequence. No, my name is of no consequence. Zovnokaon. I am of Czechoslovakian descent.
I told you, it's a bit strange, isn't it?
It is a little bit strange. Go on, play some more.
I have information which is of paramount importance. It concerns the abrupt demise of one Mrs. Wing Commander Parkhurst, retired. It also concerns the mysterious disappearance of her husband, the Wing Commander himself. And it concerns two further bizarre cases involving a local laundrette worker and a neighborhood watch chairman. The perpetrator responsible is a man called Bakov. I was his tutor at RADA for a number of years. A difficult pupil, as I recall.
Yes, this is very strange.
I know.
He is a key acolyte in Azrael's coterie of Satanists. He himself commands the attentions of strange and twisted creatures of the night. Things you could not even imagine in your wildest dreams. Oh, squirrels and crows and, worms and things. Funny you should mention that.
There's another one.
Oh dear.
I am Mary Blacklodge of the Society for Moralistic Ear Bashing and Grievances. A more courteous greeting would have been appropriate, young man. Really, dear boy, surely your mother taught you better manners than that. I have a formal complaint to make as regards the wanton decimation and gory outcome of your phone-ins. You seem to have notched up several victims at the last death count, not to mention two reported disappearances. No, dear boy. I don't blame you entirely. It's society as a whole that is to blame for all the violence in the world. Why, only the other week, a member of SMEG vanished without a trace. My goodness. Come to think of it, he too was a neighborhood watch chairman. A Mr. Rupert Percival Twitcher Esquire by name. Such a coincidence.
Who are these people? Do they don't actually mention our names? Do you think they're calling in for Mr. Yeti or something?
They might be, dear. Oh, fair makes me shiver, it does. It fair makes me shiver.
Yeah, fair makes me shiver as well. Oh, dear. Well, I didn't like the sound of them at all.
Oh, there's another one.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Octavius. Why are Mr. and Mrs. Frisbee of Sutton Park? Say hello, dear.
Hello.
No, it's not an avenue, it's a park. Isn't that right, dear?
Yes,
that is correct. We would like to make it plain and simply clear to all concerned that there is by no means any strange goings-on within the confines of Sutton Park, with the solely occasional exception of a group of layabout hippie university students and a video camera. Is that not so, my dear?
Yes.
No.
No.
Not unless you count the ones standing outside our patio window.
Didn't that... Oh, didn't he say Sutton Park? I've heard that name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard of Sutton Park. Blimey. Oh, dear. Well, that explains it. These people are somehow calling in because of, well, you know, the antics of the past.
I don't understand, dear.
Well, the antics, the goings-on, yes. Oh, dear. Mr. Yeti used to go on.
Did he? Oh, well, I have heard of Sutton Park, I can tell you. I don't think I like getting messages. I'm not even sure I like doing podcasts, Bert.
Oh, don't be silly. Nothing wrong with doing podcasts. We just turn off the answer phone next time. Yes. Oh, dear.
Oh, I think you're right, Bert. Oh, I think you're right.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for this episode. This is all we've got time for, isn't it, Gert?
Oh, yes. Yes, this is quite enough. Quite enough for one episode. You just go back to repairing your hover pad or something. Lovely to speak to you, listeners, and, thank you to Cromarty for his in-depth episode with poor little Ick.
Oh, sure he's all right. Paul was there. Yes, yes, it's all fine, yes. Anyway, yes, thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll see you again, probably, sometime, if the evils of Sutton Park don't get us. Yes.
Oh, don't joke about it, Bert. Don't joke about it. Oh, dear.
All right, bye now. Say goodbye, Gert.
Goodbye, Gert. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, Ick, I do hope that we can still be friends.
Yes, of course we can.
I do feel bad about the way that I have treated you, and I realise that it is not just about, you know, getting exclusive interviews.
Yes, well, perhaps this has taught you a lesson.
Yes, of course, I think so. Yes, I do think so. It is so nice to be sitting up in this rooftop garden, drinking wine and enjoying the sun. Oh, yes, I do think this is a beautiful, beautiful way to end this trip.
Yes, you are probably right.
By any chance, could you pay for this drink? I don't think that I have any money with me.
Yes. I'll pay for the drink.
No, thank you.
Hello, it's me, Damia Sprinklehorn. Hello. I don't seem to be required this week. I feel a bit forgotten. Hello?
All right, Damius, what's going on? You all right?
Yes, I just wondered if anybody wanted to record me for the show, you know?
Oh, sorry, I don't know. I don't think so. I think the show's over now. But, you know, things are, yeah, well, it's been Bert and Gert's show, so, yes, it was all, most of it was recorded ages ago, I think. Yes, I think I was there, but I wasn't, you know, that was ages ago. It was, don't worry about it, it's a week off, eh?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. I should go back to learning my lines.
Yes, that's good, yes.
Ah, yes. Well, I heard Bettina's voice.
Oh, yes. Bettina, yes. Bettina was there. Yes, they just got her in to say a few things and...
How is she? Do you know how Bettina is?
I think she's all right.
What about that Nathan?
Well, you know, much the same, I imagine, always rushing off to meetings.
Oh, yes, he's always rushing off to meetings. Oh, I don't approve.
No, well, yeah, well, that's the way it goes. I don't see it lasting myself.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, I'm just guessing. I'm just thinking. Oh, she could do better than him. She could do better than him, don't you think, Damias?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she can definitely do better than Nathan. Can Bettina? Oh, yes. She's far too good for him.
Yeah. Anyway, we're barely going. Yes, I'll see you later. I wouldn't just sit here in the green room. You get off and get learning your lines, and we'll get back to normal next week, I expect.
Oh, yes. That's right. Next time. Next episode. I'll be back.
Ah, that's good, yes. I'll see you next time then, Damias.
All right. See you next time. Oh, yes, that's me, Damias Twinklehorn, signing out. Yes. Yes.
Ah, yes. right, yes. That's me. It's Uncle John, signing out. Yes.
It's quite long.
No. Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, that is correct, isn't it, dear?
He's not that shy.
107. This program is a proud member of UniVoz. Unified, unique voices. Learn more at UniVozPods.net.
Oh, it fair made me shiver.
You said that earlier, Gert.
But it does, it fair makes me shiver. Those strange people calling in and then... Oh, I like to just think it was some sort of acting, but it seemed quite real to me.
I know, it did seem quite real. Yes, well, you know, you never quite know what you're going to get when you tell people you've got a podcast going, do you? No, it's strange. Oh, quite strange.
Oh, I do hope Sutton Park doesn't, like, come and do nasty things to us.
I don't think it will. I think it's just bad luck that we picked up those messages. Yes. Anyway, I'm going to get on and fix that hoverpad.
Right then, dear. I'm going to go and knit a fish finger.
Knit a fish finger? Is that a euphemism?
No, I'm knitting a giant fish finger for a friend of mine.
A friend of yours wants you to knit them giant fish finger? Okay.
Yes, she collects them.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Well, Gert, you get on with your knitting. Giant fish finger. Oh, I've never heard anything like it. I really haven't.
Oh, it's perfectly normal.
Oh dear, I hadn't thought of that. Still, never mind.